Hey, believer, welcome to From Head to Heart. Do you know in your head God loves you, but struggle to feel it in your heart? Have you ever been let down by people so you believe God will let you down too? Do you ever feel like you have to choose between God or your feelings? I'm Jessica, someone who loves Jesus but didn't grow up in the church. For a long time, I believed that if I didn't take care of myself, then no one would. I believed so many lies about my worth and identity in Christ. I wondered if I would ever be able to discern God's voice over my voice. I realized that even in my mistakes, with all the choices I made, I am still loved by a God whose love isn't transactional. Now is your time to finally know and understand God's love for you, that you can trust God and hear from God. If you are ready to grow your relationship with God and need a starting place to process your feelings, pull up a seat and join us at the table. Today is the first day you begin to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. Hey friend, I am so glad that you're here. Today I have a guest, and we haven't had a guest on the show in a while. I've been going down to about one guest a month, but today our special guest is Ann Swindell, and we're going to be talking about fear, how to not live in fear. She recently released a book, The Path to Peace, and what's important for me is to share practical takeaways with you guys. And so Anne does that. She shares practices that she uses to stay in step with peace, but also we talk a little bit about fear and how to really get out of fear and to not live in fear. So make sure you also join us inside the Facebook group community where we talk about healing from God and hearing from God. And yes, of course, the Facebook group is free to join. I'd love to connect with you and get to know you over there. But also, if you want to take a deep dive into your healing journey, don't forget to pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, because listen, I don't want you to keep doing this alone anymore. I wrote Face Off With Your Feelings because I know what it means to be triggered. I know what it means to live in emotions and feelings and feel so overwhelmed by them, feel so overrun by them. And I don't want you to continue to live in this cycle of feelings or failure or regret and shame and guilt. So make sure you pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings. Head to the link below. And while you're there, request to join us over inside the Facebook group. And I can't wait to connect with you. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Hey, Anne, I am pretty pumped about talking to you today about fear. I mean, I know that your book's called Path to Peace, but it obviously is a path to peace for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you just to share with us, what does fear mean to you and what does it look like?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jessica. I'm glad to be here. And I do think that talking about fear, especially in relation to then how do we walk in Christ's peace, it's so important because at least for me, fear is at the root of a lot of my anxieties and overwhelm and my feelings of stress, right? And so I think, you know, fear for me is anything that takes me out of walking in the feeling of my belovedness and my knowing that I am cared for and loved by Christ. And so when I feel fear, it's often because I don't feel and don't experience in that moment the knowing and the truth that I am the beloved of Jesus and that he knows me, sees me, and is caring for me.
Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share a story that where you had the revelation that you're living in fear, you're walking in fear, mm-hmm. and really how God began to bring you out of that. Because I think so many of us, we operate in the fear versus acknowledging the fear and putting it where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. Well, yeah, dealing with that fear and anxiety was actually the reason why I wrote this book, The Path to Peace, because it was an experience I had with the Lord out of that, that he really invited me into a season of more healing and walking with him. So what had happened was that my husband had gotten fired from his job. And because he was a pastor, he'd gotten fired for telling the truth, which was hard and challenging and sad, but I was so proud of him. And what ended up happening was, you know, when you're in ministry, your job is also your community. And so we really lost our primary income and our community, most of our friends overnight. And it was just very jarring. We were also in a season where my son, who was 2 at the time was dealing with some pretty intense medical issues. And I started to wake up every morning with so much anxiety and so much fear about the future. I was terrified is too big of a word, but I was so overwhelmed with worries about what was ahead for us because we really had no clarity about what was coming. We didn't have any job opportunities. We didn't have any viable way, you know, to make more money at that point for my husband. And so we were just trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? And I kind of had this breakdown moment with the Lord on this one night in November. And this is what the introduction of the book is all about. But I just found myself screaming into the night, like, this isn't what I signed up for. This is not the life I had planned on, with a son that's struggling, a husband who's fallen into depression, lack of finances, not sure if we're going to be able to keep our house, all these things. And it was coming from a place of fear. I was so afraid. I was angry. And I felt like God was not, I knew he was hearing my prayers, but he wasn't answering them the way I wanted him to. And that anger, that frustration at him and at my life was because I was afraid. It's because I was fearful and I didn't know what was next. And the Lord used that night, and then reflecting on that night and kind of all of the things that spilled out of me, to invite me into a season of healing, to invite me into a season of exploring with him what it meant to walk in his peace, even if my circumstances didn't change. Because I knew mentally, I knew what I have believed for most of my life, which is God is good. I believe the word of God. I believe that he will care for us. But those truths weren't sinking into my heart enough to dislodge the fear that I was feeling on a constant basis. And so through the kindness of the Holy Spirit, the kindness of my husband, and just time in prayer, I felt the Lord saying, let's go on a journey to discover how you can walk in peace rather than fear, even when your life feels kind of upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think so many of us can relate to that in our own story, whether it's loss of some kind. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all experienced loss, especially over the last couple of years, some kind, yes. And just not knowing what is this going to look like. And then we get stuck. We get stuck in that fear.
Yeah.
What kind of, I don't want to say things, but what kind of practices mm-hmm. did you begin to actually like do and apply over your life? We know that obviously reading the word is one of them, but beyond yep. that, in your everyday life, when you're going to the grocery store, when you're mm-hmm. helping take care of your kids, were you practicing mm-hmm. to live in peace and not in fear?
Yeah. You know, there are so many things we could do. And I found for me, I only had the capacity and the emotional ability to do a few simple things. And so obviously, yeah, for me, reading the word was central for me, and being in the word and allowing myself to read it, to listen to it when I didn't even have the mental like wherewithal to read. I would listen to the word when I couldn't read it, listening on Audible or, you know, whatever. I also went to Christian counseling, went to therapy, praise the Lord for a good counselor who helped me walk through and figure out why I was feeling the way I was, and not only what God's word said, but how I could acknowledge what I was feeling and then take it to him and take it to other people in my life who I trusted and could help me process that. For me, exercise was a big thing, and it didn't have to be anything intense, but moving my body helped me to stay engaged with my body so that I wasn't totally living in my head all the time, but was actually, allowing myself to feel like the joy of being outside with the wind on my face or the joy of a good hard run. And I've never gotten those runner's high endorphins that people talk about, but just enjoying moving and being thankful that even if the rest of my life felt pretty out of control, like my body was still functioning enough for me to move. And I was thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And then I also turned to a couple of close friends who weren't a part of our immediate church community at that point, one who was and remained a great friend, just to be able to have a safe place to share with them, like what I was feeling, what I was wrestling through. And they spoke the truth back to me. They prayed with me. They prayed for me. They brought us meals. They took care of us in really practical ways. And I'm so thankful for that because I needed help. I needed help in that season.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you shared those because so many times, and I love you know, praying and reading your Bible and fasting. And mm-hmm. those are all great answers. But I think also, how do we put those answers into practice?
Yeah.
How do we fast, or how do we pray throughout the day, mm-hmm. or how do we get quiet with God? But how do we also yeah. be in community? And I think people need to see, like, oh, I worked out, or I did, because people need to see those practical everyday lives. I know for me anyways, it's,
yeah.
But how are you really doing this? Like, how are you really overcoming?
Yes. And
something that in my own study and what we talk about here a lot, I mean, the podcast is called From Head to Heart. So you basically said it. It's like, you knew the word of God, but it was like in your heart, it was still kind of ruffling around, you know, it was still like, do I really... And now I would love for you to talk about this side of things, is that I think when it comes to anxiousness or fear, if we look at it subjectively or objectively, I should say, would you agree that the root of it all is really that we don't trust God?
I would say for myself, it definitely is, that fear stems from a place of either not believing God when he says who he is and what he is capable of and what he will do, or it's from a place of just allowing other voices to override him, to silence that voice. And that's maybe another thing I'll backtrack to connect it to, that is that in that season, and now even as I've learned kind of my own sensitivity, I was very careful about what I allowed into my mind in that season, what I watched or didn't watch online, what I read or didn't read. I was not in a season where I could be on the offensive and, like, you know, fighting against the darkness. I couldn't be trying to be strong in areas where I needed to just be fed. And so I was really careful about my intake of media and careful about the voices I was listening to. And I think that is the same reason a lot of times for me when I'm feeling fearful, it's like, what voices am I listening to? What am I allowing into my heart and my mind that are maybe overriding or going over the voice of truth and the voice of who God says he is? And this is why, actually, when God invited me into this season of healing and studying and learning from him to grow, I actually went through and I went back and studied the lives of men and women in the Old and the New Testament to see, how did they trust God when they were dealing with extraordinarily scary situations? What did it look like for them to believe God when their circumstances said the opposite? And so The Path to Peace is a book is actually broken up into 8 sections. And I look at 8 different biblical men and women, and I look at their stories. Look at the life of Sarah, you know, the wife of Abraham. And how did she trust God when Abram at the time came down the mountain and said, I've met with this new God, and now we're going to pick up everything and leave and go. How did she not succumb to fear, but learn to trust this new God that she was being asked to follow? You know, similarly, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was put in this really culturally scary situation of carrying the Christ child before being married. How did she not totally just dissolve under the weight of fear and anxiety and overwhelm, but continue to trust the Lord? And so studying their lives and seeing, man, they were real women, just like us. Yes, they lived thousands of years ago, but they were dealing with the same feelings, same human emotions that we deal with. And their response to God made all the difference. And he gave them the strength to respond in faith and in trust. And so I wanted to learn from them. And that's part of what I hope The Path to Peace is giving to readers, is kind of this roadmap, not that we can each follow in Sarah's footsteps or Mary's, but maybe a blueprint to look at and say, if they can walk in faith in their circumstances, I know God wants to give me the same hope and peace in my own circumstances to do the same.
What would you say that your biggest revelation in studying those people and really learning about, what was your biggest revelation that came out of this?
It sounds so simple, but it was the awareness that the same God who gave Moses the strength to part the Red Sea is the same God, the same Holy Spirit that is living inside of me today, is living inside of you. And is he calling me to part the Red Sea? No, but he is not a God who is far off. It's not a different God who gave the disciples the power to share the gospel, you know, across the known world in those early days of the church. it is the same Lord who gives me the power to overcome sin and to overcome fear and to not give in to overwhelm in the moments when I desperately need his strength. And it was so encouraging to me because I saw these saints. I think a lot of times, maybe because I grew up in the church, I kind of look at these men and women of the Bible as these heroes of the faith, which they totally are. But they were just humans. And God shows us their humanness very clearly in his word multiple times. They are not mini gods and goddesses. They have clay feet. They fumble. They fail. And yet God carried them and saw them through. And so their stories really gave me encouragement and faith to say the same God that gave them peace in their own pits and their own struggles and their own prisons is the same God who wants to give me peace in the middle of my own mental, you know, prisons and pits and struggles.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, as we kind of wrap up today, one of the questions I really want to end with is, what are some practices you use to stay in step with the Spirit, but also to stay in step with peace? Because obviously, if it says, you know, Galatians 5 talks about walking in the Spirit, but to walk in the Spirit, you have to stay in step with the Spirit. And when we stay in step with the Spirit, we can experience peace. So what are some of your practices that you like to do and use to stay in that peace?
One of the things that I love to do when I go back to the word. So Jesus says, you know, in John 14:27, which is one of my favorite verses, is peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So how do I walk in this peace? It's not a worldly peace. It's not something that I'm necessarily going to get by having a nice cold drink on the beach. You know, I can't escape my own life to get that peace. And that's, I think, what our culture will tell us, is that in order to find peace and live it out, you have to get away from your life. Christ actually says, I'm going to give it to you right in the middle of your life, right where you are right now, right in the middle of all those hard and challenging things, because peace comes from the very person of Jesus himself. And so for me to live that out, that looks like we're a family that likes to sing hymns. Our church, which I love our church, does contemporary music, and I'm thankful for that. But I found great joy in going back to the hymns that saints have sung for hundreds and hundreds of years. And most of them are really based in the richness of scripture. And so we sing a lot of hymns in our house, as old school as that might seem. Mm-hmm. We also have a practice as a family, which we call the Swindell Ebenezer List. And we do this every year on New Year's Eve. I mean, any family could do it whenever they want, but we just recount and recall what God has done for us in the past year, all the prayers he's answered, all the good ways that he's taken care of us. And then we put that list up on the wall so that when we're feeling discouraged or when we're wondering if God is going to come through for us again, and we're feeling fearful and anxious, we can walk over to the wall and we can read and remember and recount who God has been specifically for our family. And that has been such a faith booster for us to say, yeah, let's remember. And so all of the little pages are right behind each other. So if, you know, if the last year wasn't enough to encourage us, we can open up the frame and read back a few more years and just remind our hearts, because I forget really easily all the things that God has done, but it encourages my heart to remember who God has been for us. And, you know, the Bible is the same. It says, recount, retell what God has done to the next generation in his word and also in our individual lives. So those are a couple of the practices that have helped me walk in peace when I'm feeling especially anxious.
No, those are so fun and so good. I think you really hit it on the head though, when you said that we try to escape reality to find peace and that actually never helps us find peace anyways. You know, we always try to create distance, which I talk about creating space to heal, but space can be the carpool line, the doctor's office, like, we can create space. We don't have to go away for a weekend or go on vacation to really find that peace. Yeah. We might need a recalibration, you know, if we are that overloaded, but yeah, I think you really hit it on the head with that. So where can people go to get your book and find more about you?
Yeah, I'd love to connect. My website is just my name. So anneswindell.com, no E on the Anne, much to the chagrin of Anne of Green Gables, but just anneswindell.com. And then I'm on Instagram, the same place, at Anne Swindell. And my book, you can pretty much buy anywhere online. I always love to encourage people to buy their local independent Christian bookseller, but Baker Bookhouse, which is near us here, is like, they ship all over the country and they always have it for 30% off, which is a great deal. So check them out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I'll have the links below, but thank you again for sharing your heart and also just allowing the Lord to work through you to encourage people in so much peace.
Thanks for having me, Jessica.
How free would you feel if your feelings didn't get the final say in your life, but God's word did? Many of us allow our feelings to be the engine in our lives instead of the caboose. We are run by our feelings when we run away from them. But as I teach in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, we no longer have to run and hide from our feelings. Our feelings can lead us into a deeper relationship with God. Whether you feel too busy to slow down, believe you are not worth the time, the effort, or the fight, you feel so overwhelmed with where to start, or have no idea how to take your thoughts captive, question your thoughts, or renew your mind, my book, Face Off With Your Feeling, helps you create space step by step to heal the tender places of your soul. In my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I teach you how worthy you are of love and healing because of our good Father in heaven. I write from my own journey and I share simple, tangible action steps for you to take as you work through the process of healing, including changing the way you think about God to change the way you live with God, creating the space you need to find healing, discovering how to get the word of God from your head into your heart, experience and love of God through relationship and not works, and finally, finding freedom from shame about what you feel so that you can heal. So if you are ready for your feelings to not be the engine in your life that runs you, but rather the caboose, pick up my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, by heading to jessicahoddle.com/shop today.